copy of God's Word again and turn to back to Romans chapter 12. There's a bumper sticker that said, "Don't follow me, I'm lost too." Motion does not always mean a proper response or proper direction just because you're going somewhere. Be careful that you follow, when you follow the crowd, that they know where they're headed. And maybe if they know where they're headed, you might not want to go with them. You need to follow a godly leader in all of life. The most godly person I know of is the Lord Jesus Christ, who set the example of being a leader. But God has also set in His church people to be leaders. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, talks about this thing of leadership. It reminds us that we are many people in the body of Christ, in the church, but all of us as believers are gifted. We have a spiritual gift. And he says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. He goes on to say in verse number 8, he who leads, he's to lead with diligence. When you follow someone, be sure they know where they're going. Be sure that they're not lost, that you follow the right kind of leader. You see, a gift, another gift of God's grace that we've been talking about, these gifts of the Spirit, is leadership. Leaders are to carry out their responsibility with diligence. In other words, they're to work with enthusiasm. They'll lead following the Holy Spirit. Leadership today, I realize, is often seen as the fruit of ambition or persistence and good fortune. But biblical leadership is essentially a service carried out for the benefit of others. Keep in mind that Paul is writing in the context of the church as a body of believers who are to be one in Christ Jesus the Lord. As such, they are not to get sidetracked by arguing with each other or envying one another or disputing about their relative importance. Each Christian in the body of Christ is to utilize their spiritual gifts for the good of the body. Paul talks about this very thing when he writes to the church at Corinth, was in an absolute mess in this matter of utilizing wrongly spiritual gifts. They become arrogant and proud and self-centered. And Paul reminds them in 1 Corinthians 12 that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministers, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Whatever we do in the church as a following the Lord Jesus Christ in a position of leadership, we need to understand that it is for the common good of the entire body of Christ. Not something just to bless ourselves with. You'll be blessed, but it is to be a blessing to others. It is Paul's conviction that the church is to function in harmony as the body of Christ. Each part is to carry out its own function, however prominent or however humbly unseen that function may be. Each has a task to do, and only as each member performs that task can the church function as it ought to function. Spiritual gifts are given by God to enable the church to function as she ought to function. Spiritual gifts are given by God to glorify Himself as He works through His people. One such gift is the gift of being called to occupy a leading place. The idea here is the one standing in the front. The term that is used here carries with it the idea of a military picture. And a person in the military who is out front is called a point man. And a point man occupies not only a position of responsibility, but it is also the most vulnerable position in the military when they're out front. I talked with Peggy's cousin, who was a career man in the Army. He was a master sergeant, highest rank, I guess what you call it. Anyway, he had about 100 sergeants under him. He served 3 tours in Vietnam, and he was a point man early on. Amazingly, he survived because in that day, during the Vietnam era, a lot of point men didn't last very long because they were out in front. They were the target, but they were setting the pace, clearing the way. That has a spiritual connotation for us too. A person who is a leader is a person occupies a position of tremendous importance, but it is also one that can be very dangerous. You'll be a target of those who disagree with the direction you may be headed in trying to lead a people to go. There are those who have been given this gift of leadership and are able to oversee various aspects of the work of God. God's work needs well-taught elders or leaders who are able to take the lead over the work in a given church and to guide it into scriptural and fruitful paths. And there's a vital principle that we need to understand. The church needs men and women today to be leaders with a sensitivity to the Spirit of God and who are willing to take a stand out front and lead others to accomplish a given task. We have a task. We have a mandate. We have a command to go and make disciples. We are to be soul-winning people. We are to be making disciples of people in this world today. That is a task that we need to be fulfilled. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we are to be about to building up the body of Christ to reaching those who need Christ as our personal Savior. David Rockefeller said this, a leader must see the vision, state the mission, and set the tone. As we think about a leader and being in position of leadership, there are four qualities that will identify a good leader. You might want to write these down. You want to keep them in mind. First of all, a good leader possesses courage. He possesses, first of all, the courage of conviction. They possess this courageous quality of knowing that they have been called to the particular ministry that they have been given to by the church. Whenever you agree to serve in a position of leadership in this church, you hope you feel led of the Lord to do so. And you'll need courage, the courage of conviction to fulfill it. The Word of God is a true leader's guidebook of faith and practice, and any leader needs to realize that it is the Holy Spirit that will enable, that will equip, that will empower that person to carry out their duties. The godly leader knows that he or she will have a target on their back and that the enemy of souls will do everything he can to disrupt and to destroy the work of God's kingdom. But a leader understands what Charles Gow said. The two great laws of life are growth and decay. When things stop growing, they begin to die. Listen, this is true of men. This is true of businesses. This is also true of nations. But I would add this. A leader understands that this is also true of churches. If a church refuses to grow, that church is on the way to dying or is already dead. I made a commitment a long time ago to the Lord. Lord, I think you will give me the grace to put up with anything in a church except a church that refuses to grow. I don't think the Lord expects any pastor to put up with a church that refuses to grow. We need to have an attitude of growth in Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. Growth is, I'm not just talking about merely about numbers. The numbers are important because they represent precious souls for whom Christ died. But we need to grow spiritually. And if we're not willing to grow spiritually, folks, we're not going to grow numerically. But if we grow spiritually the way we ought to, God will place a desire in our heart to share what we have learned and what we desire and whom we love with others so that we want them to come into the fellowship to be a part of the growth of God's kingdom in this church. You see, a leader will refuse to throw up his or her hands and quit because he knows the importance of advancing the gospel. He has more than just belief. Someone has said that a belief is something you hold. Many of you may hold beliefs, but I want to tell you something. We need to have some conviction. A belief is what you hold, but a conviction is what holds you. And I have a conviction about the Word of God. The only thing that can hold us in what we are facing in our world today is the inerrant Word of God. We need to understand the importance of getting the gospel out to the lost. We need to understand the importance of making disciples. We need to understand the importance of studying the Word of God and being all that God has called us to be in our church today. But not only do they possess the courage of conviction, they possess the courage of commitment. Leaders possess a sense of responsibility and are willing to make sacrifices of their time and their leisure and their pleasure to carry out leadership responsibilities. Studies of people in business and industry who have achieved success show that four factors are almost always present. These factors are also true for spiritual leadership. First factor is this. That's the ability to think. Say, preacher, what's so great about that? The ability to think. Well, some folks just thinking anything and everything. But the Bible says we're to have the mind of Christ. In fact, Paul said in verse 2 of chapter 12 of Romans that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that means we have to have the mind of Christ. How are we going to have the mind of Christ? By being a student of the Word of God and seeking His guidance and His leadership and His teaching. So we need to have the ability to think. There must be an inner drive and a love of work. We must have an inner drive and a love for the work of God's kingdom, doing the work that God has called us to do, being His people, sharing, loving, cooperating, witnessing, ministering, doing the work to keep the facility going and prepared, doing the work of teaching, leading, sharing, and praying. Have a love and a drive for being involved in God's kingdom work. And there is the capacity, thirdly, to assume responsibility. I'll say something that may be a little bit shocking. I hope it's not too shocking to you. This coming July will be 6 years ago that we came to serve as your pastor. I didn't realize then just what a tremendous challenge you had, and you had some challenges financially with the debt. That was there before we came. I didn't cause it. But when I assumed the role of pastor of this church, all the aspects of it, including that debt, became my responsibility. I feel a big responsibility. That's why we try to do the things that we've been trying to do to try to deal with this debt. And we want to do it to bring honor and glory to Almighty God, but your responsibility as well, not just mine. And it's too big a load for me to carry alone. It belongs to all of us. And we need to learn to trust God and believe that what God can do, He will do to see us through all of this. But that doesn't change the fact that I feel a great responsibility for this as your pastor. And fourthly, there is the ability to lead people. Leadership is not easy. But for a leader to be effective, people must be willing to follow the leadership of the leader. If they're not willing to follow and abide by the things that God shows him that needs to be done, then he can't do it. He cannot be successful. Neither will we as a church. It has been well said that a leader is an average, everyday person who is highly motivated. Paul said it like this, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." We're to be sold after Jesus, every one of us. When the great Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, was arrested by the Roman emperor, the emperor sought to make Chrysostom recant his faith, but without success. So the emperor discussed with his advisors what could be done to the prisoner. "Shall I put him in a dungeon?" the emperor asked. "No," one of his counselors replied, "for he will be glad to go. He longs for the quietness wherein he can delight in the mercies of his God." "Then he shall be executed," said the emperor. "No," was the answer, "for he will also be glad to die. He declares that in the event of death, he will be in the presence of his Lord." "What shall we do then?" the ruler asked. "There's only one thing that will give Chrysostom pain," the counselor said. "To cause Chrysostom to suffer, make him sin. He's afraid of nothing except sin." As the people of God here at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, we shouldn't be afraid of anything except sin. Our God is able, but sin will interrupt and destroy, disillusion, and defeat any of us if we allow it to stay in our hearts and lives. In the spring of 1940, France had fallen to the onrushing columns of the German war machine. The 350,000-man British army in France had made a harrowing evacuation from Dunkirk. Winston Churchill rose to speak before the House of Commons, and among other things, to introduce a new and striking phrase to the English language. Churchill said this, and I quote, "Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Commonwealth and Empire last for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour." It is my desire that if the Lord chooses to tarry for another 257 years, like this church has been here for 257 years, that people 257 years from now, if Jesus hadn't come, I'm not sure he'll wait that long, I'll be honest with you, but they will look back at this and say, listen, this particular era in the life of Mount Pisgah Baptist Church is one of their finest hours, when they met one of the greatest challenges they had faced and came through it successful, serving God, and found faithful. A good leader possesses courage. It's going to take courage for us in the days ahead. Not only for this debt, that's something that's within God's hands, and we can do is what God has called us to do. But we're facing much greater challenges than this debt, and that is reaching this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. People in this community are important. They need to understand that they are loved by God, that we love them and to care for them. And we need to be about the business of reaching them. Secondly, a good leader possesses the quality of wisdom. The Word of God in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32 speaks about the men of Issachar. They were men who had an understanding of the times. Leaders have insight. They're able to see beneath the surface. They're able to look beyond the events of the hour. Like the men of Issachar, who knew which dynasty to support, either the house of Saul or the house of David. We need the wisdom to know who we are going to follow. We need to have the wisdom to follow the Almighty God. When so much hung on the will of the reigning monarch, this was a vital question in that day. They needed to know what steps to take to establish national unity, what steps to take and what attitude to assume toward their national enemies, whether to be in submission, a compromise, or unmitigated hostility toward the enemy. What position to take concerning other religions was also in their hearts and minds. Were they to adopt the false gods of others or to abide by the covenant that they had made with Almighty God at Sinai? They had an understanding of the times that they were going to follow Almighty God. I hope we have an understanding of the times in which we're in, when there are those who are challenging our faith, who are challenging which direction we to take, what attitudes we are to have toward the things of this world. We need to have the wisdom like the men of Issachar. We need to have an understanding of the times and make a commitment. We will follow the Lord no matter what. The church needs men like the men of Issachar today, leaders who can see the forces that are threatening the integrity and the progress of the church and how the church can avoid the seductive traps of the enemy. We need to know which area of Christian truth needs to be emphasized, enforced, and taught at any given hour. Leaders must know how to present the old story in this modern age with effectiveness and enthusiasm and love, without compromise and without unfaithfulness. Leaders have insight into the next citadel of error or evil the church must withstand. We are faced with a host of issues today, and we need to know how to apply the Word of God to domestic, to social, commercial, and political questions. And through it all, whenever an issue comes up, we need to ask, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? What am I to do in response to this question that I'm facing? How would God view this? What should be my response to this social issue, this commercial issue, this political issue, this domestic problem? What should be my response? Very simple. What does the Bible say should be our response? The church ought to... They know what the church ought to do as well. How do they know? Leaders realize that the church is to be on the cutting edge of destiny, who clearly see the crisis that we're in today and what needs to be done. Leaders understand that we are facing the very evident judgment of God. Who understand that much of what is going on in our society today that we call successful is being propped up by human ingenuity, and God is being left out of the decision-making process all too often. There is a sin sickness permeating our society that is absolutely heartbreaking. I'm afraid that America is committing a slow and agonizing suicide because of a lack of seeking the wisdom of God. We need revival. We need an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, sin-killing, soul-saving revival. And our old pastor's with the Lord now. He used to say many, many times, he said, you want to see a church have true revival? You get 10 people saved real good and you see a church in revival. He's absolutely right. When God's Spirit begins to move and people begin to save, it makes a difference in everything that we do. There's a need for leaders who realize that our only hope is not in Washington, it's not in the Pentagon, not even in our natural resources, but in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Leaders need to be realistic. J. Oswald Saunders issued the following reminder years ago that has not changed, but has become even more crucial to understanding. No one need aspire to leadership in the work of God who is not willing to pay a price greater than his contemporaries and colleagues are willing to pay. True leadership always exacts a heavy toll on the whole man. And the more effective the leadership is, the higher the price to be paid. We need men who, like Solomon, desired wisdom. We need men like men of Issachar who have an understanding of the times. What about this matter of wisdom? Where do we get it? The Bible tells us. What does the Bible say? We go to James chapter 1. James says this, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. We want to be a church who has an understanding of the times, who also realize that we need to be in harmony as God's people, being of one mind, pursuing the same goals of honoring God and reaching people with the gospel and developing believers. We need to do it with compassion, being responsive to the needs of others and those who are all around us. We need to do it with a strong and deep and abiding love, the kind of love that Jesus had for you and me, treating others as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be tenderhearted, being sensitive and caring, easily moved by others' distresses and problems. We need to be courteous and humble, being willing to encourage one another and rejoice in each other's successes and lifting others up when they do fail. We don't need to be shooting our wounded. We need to be reaching out in a healing manner, bringing people back in to the fold of Almighty God. We need wisdom to deal with people in a proper way. A leader, a good leader, possesses wisdom. But thirdly, a good leader also possesses the quality of vision. There's a great need for such leaders in the church today. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, the elders of the church at Antioch had an understanding of the Spirit's leading and of the times in which they lived when they laid their hands on Barnabas and Saul and sent them forth to evangelize the world. Those who occupy a leading place in the church today are to be leaders with vision, who live in victory, and who believe the Word of God, and who have the burdening beat of God's heart in their souls. They have a love for missions and ministry and a love for the lost. I want to ask you something. What is your vision for Mount Pisgah Baptist Church? What is your vision for Mount Pisgah Baptist Church? Where will this church be 5 years from now? Where will it be 10 years from now? I most likely won't be here. Many of you may not be here. That doesn't change the fact you're to have a vision. What God wants for this facility, what God wants for this community and in this community. What is your vision for Mount Pisgah Baptist Church? One of the reasons I've emphasized using the old sanctuary as much as we have, because I have a vision that one day we'll need that over there and this here as well to fill up these Sunday school rooms. That potential is here in Brunswick County. But it's not going to happen by just talking about it. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves and go to work and be committed to the cause of Christ. There are enough unchurched people in Brunswick County to fill up every church in this county 10 times over. When there are 134,000 people in Brunswick County, and on any given Sunday, better than 90,000 people never darken the door of a church, that tells you where our mission field is. It's right here. We need to have a vision of reaching people for Christ. It has been said that vision is the Aladdin's lamp of the soul. It is a divine spark that lights the lamp of progress. It is the hand that pushes aside the curtains of night and lets the sun rise in. Proverbs 29:18 reminds us that where there is no vision, people perish. Another translation says, where there is no vision, people flounder around. We don't need to be floundering around. We need a vision. When you leave Asheville, North Carolina, and get on Interstate 25, head towards Spartanburg, South Carolina, you won't go too many miles before you reach a place where it looks like you can see forever, for eternity. Beautiful scene. This goes into almost nothing where you can see. Unlimited vision, as far as you can see. When we consider our relationship to Jesus Christ, we as Christians need to have a view of eternity in mind. We must understand that a person's acceptance or rejection of Jesus Christ determines their eternal destiny. Those who have the gift of leading are out front setting the pace, being witnesses. They seem to be always looking to the very face of God, the face of eternity, with eternity in their souls. Leaders are pace setters in leading the local church to carry out the mission God has called her to. Around 1730, a church in Sussex, England, had the following word about vision. And I quote, "A vision without a task is but a dream. A task without a vision is drudgery. A vision and a task is the hope of the world." Can it be said of Mount Pisgah Baptist Church that we're the hope of this community, this county, our nation, and our world? Leaders possess vision. I'm so glad for those of you who take the work of God's kingdom through this church seriously and do what you do. I'm so thankful for those who have stepped up to the plate to carry things on here and then do it week in and week out, month in and month out. Taking care of the facility, teaching, leading, guiding, directing. But we're not doing nearly as much as we need to. There are too many committees that never meet and never plan, never dream, never seek God's guidance. We need every committee to be active, doing the work of God's kingdom, to build up this body of Christ, to reach this community with the gospel. We need young people in this church. We need young families. And then we need programs in place to teach them and disciple them, because they are future leaders not only of this congregation but of our country. We need leaders to step up to the plate with vision of what can happen when they invest in young people and in children. Your children and young people are so important. A good leader possesses then, fourthly, the quality of zeal. In other words, leaders are enthusiastic about the gospel. Spiritually awakened and empowered leaders exercise their gifts in witness and ministry. Leaders in the functioning body of Christ literally gather to be scattered. We come to worship God, to study the Word of God, to praise Him, to be energized and equipped to go out into the world to be the church. This building is not the church. This building is where Mount Pisgah Baptist Church meets. We are the church. And we're together for encouragement, for hope, and for joy, and for healing, and for help, and strength, and guidance, and direction, and inspiration. And then go out of the doors of the church into the world to be the church. That's who we are. Our lives and words demonstrate the good news because Jesus Christ is Lord. We are liberated to discover and develop our God-given potential. United in the fellowship of Christ as leaders, we face personal responsibilities with a renewed enthusiasm and a determination. Because we're in tune with God and in close relation to each other, we seek a style and commitment to lead our local church to become the functioning body of Christ. We take the lead in challenging our fellow believers to utilize our spiritual gifts to lead the church to grow spiritually and numerically. That is my desire, that we grow spiritually and numerically to accomplish the mission God has called us to. Leaders who are enthusiastic about the gospel exhibit dynamic spiritual patterns that develop in a people sensitive to the will and mind of Christ. Ministries flow from the abundant joy and overflowing desire to share Christ's love with others. Leaders with enthusiasm for Jesus can lead to a spiritual awakening, and that's what we need. Spiritual awakening is an experience of the congregation in which the reality of what God is doing through His Spirit fills the people. They are refreshed by a saturating awareness of the presence of Almighty God and are enthused by a new and deeper interpersonal relationship with other believers and are empowered by the Holy Spirit. How can this be? How can it be? It happens with Spirit-filled leaders who are led by the Spirit of God, who are filled with the love of Christ, and love people. God is calling out leaders today. Mount Pisgah Baptist Church needs leaders who will set the pace and run the race. Will you be obedient to God's call and be more fruitful in what He has called you to do? I would challenge all of us in this place to make the following prayer of commitment, yours and ours today. Listen to it. It's very simple. A prayer that goes like this. Lord, I am but one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do with God's help, I will do. Simple prayer. A simple prayer of commitment. And Pisgah, we have some good leaders in this church, but we have others who can be great leaders in this church. It's a matter of what you're willing to do. Are you willing to step to the forefront, be out front, be willing to be a leader, to lead this church to fulfill her mission that God has called us to? It's commitment time. It's time for us to get serious about what God has called us to do. I'm so grateful for the loving fellowship you have become, but we need to be sharing that love with others. This fellowship and the spirit among your people is better than it's been since we have been here. And I think it's wonderful. But we dare not take it for granted. And we need to be sharing this love, this commitment, this fellowship with others. And we need to be praying, God, raise up leaders for areas of ministry that you want done in reaching our community and our county with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The question is, are you willing to be one of those leaders? Are you willing to pray, Lord, show me what you'd have me do? I'm willing to do. I'm ready to go where you want me to go, do what you'd have me to do. I want to see my church grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to see my church grow in reaching this community with the gospel. I want to see people saved. Would you make that commitment today? If so, would you come? Lay it all on the altar and say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Use me. Would you do that today as we stand and sing hymn number 435, Just As I Am. God's calling you just as you are. If you're here today and you've never responded to the claim of Christ on your heart and life as a personal Savior, I would invite you to come. God loves you. He wants what's best for you. He wants what's best for this congregation. He wants to use us in ministry, but you must be willing. Would you come as we stand and sing?